and local.
Live and local.
This is Sacktown Sports.
Yes, yes, yes. Welcome into Styles and Watkins on a beautiful, beautiful Monday. I don't know how many beautifuls there should be, depending on if you are a Kings fan,
right,
you figure that you are, or a Niners fan.
Mm.
That's why there's probably only should be one beautiful.
Yeah.
Because the Kings, they take care of business against the Lakers in overtime, 132-127. Earlier on Friday, they did lose to the Warriors, 122-114.
We're
I'll keep the two beautifuls because De'Aaron Fox avoided, as Carmichael Dave said, during crosstalk, avoided significant injuries, probably going to miss some time, but definitely better than what we thought could be the case when he limped off and it did not look good. We have so much to talk about in terms of De'Aaron gutting that out and wanting to come back in. We have sound from players and coaches saying that De'Aaron was never supposed to come back in the game, but he's a dog and he wants to be a part of it. And he really wanted to get that W at home.
Oh, for
but
sure.
Hey, in life, you need people that are going to have your back. And Kevin Huerter said, I know I've been struggling, but De'Aaron, I got your back. Vezenkov said, I know I'm still new to this, but De'Aaron, I got your back. And they said the same thing to Sabonis. Keegan Murray, I got your back.
Yeah.
They said the same thing to Sabonis because he fouled out as well. So we'll talk about that. Chris, how are you doing on this lovely, lovely Monday?
Pretty good. Can't complain. Again, we got to see the beam last night, so that's good. Obviously, if it would have been a Kings loss on Friday, a Niners loss on Sunday, and then another Kings loss on Sunday, today probably would have been a pretty rough day of radio.
Yes.
And I'm glad that we don't have to deal with that. Of course, two of those things happen, but at least the Kings can salvage it, or salvaged it, I should say, with the win yesterday. And, I'm joking that you know, we're just going to forget about Friday, but for the most part, it is, on to the next game, and you really can't dwell on, unless there was some, really big happening that happened on Friday, it's really nothing to dwell on unless you feel like there was something that's just going to linger throughout the year. But to me, obviously not how you wanted to start the season. Me and Whitey all throughout our time together, we're doing Kings bold predictions.
Yeah.
I think about half of them are already not coming true with the Warriors the Kings not sweeping the Warriors. And I think the Whitey said that the Kings were going to start 9-0. That's obviously not happening. But, still no reason to overreact. And I think the news today that we're hearing that we just saw from Sam Amick and Shams about De'Aaron being relatively healthy, I think it's a positive heading into this week for sure.
Well, yeah, and you talk about bold predictions. You guys had capital B, size 15 font. Those were the type of bold predictions that you had going on, and that's what it's about. But the Kings and how they kind of approached this game and really didn't have a lot of time to dwell on the Warrior game. You had the King coming to town.
Yeah.
And the Laker fans, look.
I'm telling you.
Man, they're the worst. They are the worst. There was a guy when we were sitting in the little media section.
Yep.
There's a guy just the whole time just screaming, come on, AD, get in the game.
Come on, LeBron.
Just get in the game. And I'm glad the Kings got their W because I'm still trying to ingratiate myself with the Sacramento fan base and become a Sacramentan and all that jazz. And if I show up and now all of a sudden the Kings can't get a hometown beam, I got people in my mentions saying, dude, go back to the 925. Get out of here. Yeah. Go back to the 510. You got to go. So luckily I don't have to deal with that. The Kings get the W. They get it done. The Lakers, we'll talk about the Warriors and the Lakers later on in the show. But yeah, man, those Laker fans, they come out. It's almost, it's like a weird community to me.
Yeah.
Right? Hey, we're going to put on our Laker gear. Yeah. We're going to wear our Laker greats jerseys, and we're just going to cheer. And now they have LeBron. And that's been the worst part. You talked about this on Friday. That's been the worst part of LeBron going to the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the combination of the two worst fan bases, LeBron fans and Laker fans, all coming together to just annoy everyone.
Unstoppable force moves immovable objects, and they come together.
Because we talked about Warriors and how you thought that split would be. You said 70-30.
70-30.
Probably
maybe,
more like
40-60.
Right. You said 60-40. It ended up, it felt like it was more like 70-30.
Yeah.
When the Lakers started rolling,
yeah, it was interesting last night to kind of have that direct, like, back-to-back games of Warrior fans
that.
And then Laker fans the next day in the building.
Right. And I can say, and I think I can say this, and you can correct me if I'm wrong,
sure.
And anyone can correct me. We're going to open the phone lines here in a little bit. I mean, Laker fans are worse than Warrior fans.
They're more
Come
obnoxious,
on
for
Thank
sure.
Thank you.
They both have the same, which I don't blame, but they have the same front-runner energy where
yeah.
they're real quiet when the game's close, but then all of a sudden, once a lead becomes established,
yeah.
all of a sudden, then everybody's, you know, jumping up
right.
and Warrior, and, you know,
yes.
doing Let's Go Lakers chants
yes.
and all that stuff. But, you know, yeah, it's real
yes.
quiet when the game's close.
And I don't know if you were listening to it right here on our airwaves, listening to the game, the Laker game, or watching it. The Lakers, when they took the lead later in the fourth,
yeah.
the Laker fans tried to start a Let's Go Lakers chant in Golden 1.
Yeah. yeah.
In Golden 1.
Yeah.
And they got about three or four of them out that
mm-hmm.
were audible. I recorded
yep.
it on my phone. They got about three or four of them out, and then Kings fans just said,
drown
come
it
on
out.
Now.
Yeah, you got to drown
we
that
can't,
out.
We can't.
Yeah. just make
just
noise
can't
at that point. yeah, and you know it's happened before, but it's just, it's you know, as the Kings, and the thing is, it's been in lean years for the Kings,
yeah.
where it's like, okay, it makes sense. Like, Kings fans don't want to show up. Laker fans are actually, you know, part of a successful
yeah.
season, so it makes sense that local fans would want to go see their team in this opportunity. But as the Kings get good and as they get better, I would hope and expect to see that number kind of dwindle for the opposing fans, but clearly it hasn't gotten that way, and it's still early in the season, and it makes
right.
sense. You know, Laker fans are going to spend whatever they want on to see their team because they're crazy like that. But, yeah, you know, of course you would like to see less of the opposing fans mm-hmm. in the building. But, again, I think I said it on Friday, it kind of does bring, like, a really rare sports environment
mm-hmm.
where you do kind of get a version of a split crowd. And I
right.
think, you know, it's different. It's definitely more combative, I would say, in the crowd, but it does, at the same time, it does really make it feel at the forefront of like an us versus them kind of thing, because
yeah.
sometimes it literally is the person sitting next to you is rooting for the complete opposite thing of you.
Right, and I do think the one cool part about when you win is watching, you're
yes.
sitting there and you're watching all the Laker
fans,
you get to do the wave,
yep.
and you get to say bye, Laker fans,
yep.
we'll see you when we see you, so... You know, glad that the Kings could come out and get that W. Glad that De'Aaron Fox avoided significant injury. So we will get more into that after this break. But we do want to start to break down a little bit. Also in the show, we'll have some Niners talk because
yeah, for sure.
we're doing our first blame pie.
Yes.
All right? We're not sure that the name will stick. We were trying to think of other names,
yeah.
right? I don't know. Kristen Watkins pie. That doesn't really
Chris
sound too.
Watkins pie. I'll take that.
Or no, Styles and Watkins pie. Styling and pieing. I don't know. We're trying to figure
yeah,
out. I'm just on a roll.
Yeah.
I'm just on a roll this morning. Wow. Yeah. So we will be talking about that as well, because some people just don't want to touch anything that Brock Purdy has done wrong. Not saying it's all Brock Purdy.
Well, that's where the pie comes in.
That's where the pie comes in. Steve Wilkes, I think people just want to give him the whole
yeah.
pie.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that's the case. Players got to make plays. Nick
yep.
Bosa, where you at? If you're watching this on
money.
YouTube, I'm looking.
A lot of
I'm
money.
Like, you know that meme with the woman in church when before they do? Because Thanksgiving's coming up.
Yes,
beans,
sir. Yes.
Beans,
greens,
tomatoes, potatoes.
Yep.
And she's like, who
Yams.
Made it? And she's looking. I'm
yeah.
looking, and I cannot find you, Nick Bosa, and I don't want to hear about the double teams because you are not getting double teamed. Now we're looking at trades, and you want to go get, what is it, Montez Sweat on
yep.
Washington? What are we talking about?
Heard Brian Burns' name thrown around there.
It's what just... did y'all do all week, all summer? You were just out there doing
yeah.
cardio? I mean, the front office, this is what you were supposed to
right.
have been solidified.
Right.
And now you're out. You're going
to
make a trade to get somebody else. And you got Randy Gregory.
Doesn't make sense to me. I think that they have other holes that are just a lot more pressing to fill, in my opinion.
I hear you. But, I mean, if you can't get – well, it's a chicken or the egg. Because
right.
if you can't get pressure, that's going to expose the other
secondary,
areas of
right.
your defense.
Of course.
So do you just shore up the secondary? Or do you try to get –
Just keep loading just up keep, that D-line. Just keep D-line. Going. They're I just mean, be just keep fresh.
Hockey line changes for just completely different D-lines.
I feel like it's – I mean, yeah, we'll get more into it, but I just feel like at some point, I mean, I think you have more than enough talent on that defensive line, and I'm not opposed to the Niners going out and making that big splashy move, but – to me, it's got to be to address a position of weakness, whether it be the offensive line or whether it be the secondary. I feel like they have actual real holes that they are kind of. I wouldn't say they're being exposed, but the cracks are definitely starting to leak a little bit.
Yes, that is for sure. And you know, the last thing I will say about Brock is we saw a different version of Brock yesterday where he's scurrying around, and I think it's cool. I think he's giving shades of other 49er great quarterbacks. That's all fine and good. I don't think, and we know statistically he did not play bad yesterday, but he just made some plays that you just cannot make in this situation.
At bad times,
we'll talk about that. We'll get into it. And how could I forget 12:45? We had two big games this weekend. So you know what we got to do at 12:45. Get the calls ready. 916-339-1140. That's right. Our second installment of Beaming or Dreaming. We will see. Has anybody changed? Are you in an even better spot, or did it get worse? We got all that and more when we get back. Sals and Watkins, Sactown Sports.
I got beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, lamb, rams, hogs, dogs, chicken, turkeys, rabbits, you name it!
Sactown Sports.
Check us out on YouTube.
Search Sactown Sports and subscribe.
We are back. Sactown Sports, Styles and Watkins, taking you up to 2 p.m. Oh, yeah, I didn't do it yet, right? Because we said, when are we going to stop numbering them? Counting. Yes. Third official show.
Yeah.
Third official show.
When we get to seven?
Seven.
Okay.
Right.
That feels
no,
about right.
No double digits. Yeah. Third official show. Thank you for joining us, whether you are on the YouTube, whether you are listening in your car, however you're listening. Thank you for letting us be a part of your morning and your afternoon as well.
Right.
And thank you, Lakers.
Yeah.
For coming
it.
Through and disappearing. AD, I'm looking for the same look I'm giving to Nick Bosa, I'm giving to AD, but you don't got to show up here, man. AD has got to be one of the most confusing athletes of our generation. Mm-hmm. Where will he? What will be the narrative on Anthony Davis when it's all said and done?
Hurt. It's the best the best ability is availability, and that's really the story of Anthony Davis's career. Is when he plays, I mean, he's able to put up numbers like he had last night. What, 30-16 or something like that last night? I think he had like six combined blocks and steals or something crazy like that. He had five blocks and steals or stocks or whatever you want to call them. Mm-hmm. He's able to put up numbers when he's healthy, but the problem is he's never been healthy. And the only time he was able to stay healthy for a playoff run was that bubble year. And look what happened. They were able to win the championship.
But he was healthy last season, though.
He was, yeah. He was healthy last season, and they were able to make the Western Conference Finals as an eight or as a seven seed or whatever. Right. So I think it is as simple as when AD plays, much like Zion Williamson or a lot of other guys, when you're healthy, you can be a great, but you have to be healthy, and that's what makes LeBron's career so special. It's what made Steph's kind of resurgence from that ankle injury so special. It's what made KD's run kind of sad. Is it felt like right as he was reaching the peak of his powers, he tears his Achilles and just starts having foot problems. You got to stay healthy, and to me, that's going to be the biggest thing about AD. He got listed in that 75th anniversary team that the NBA had a couple years back. And I think we're going to look back at him being on that list and say, wow, like that says what he was supposed to be and just what he never ended up. Well, shouldn't say never because celebrity birthdays, I'm pretty sure he's like 29 or 30 years old.
Right,
he's still
right.
super young. But it just, to this point, he has not been able to live out his potential because he's just been hurt way too much.
Well, but on top of the injury thing, I do feel like if Zion has been pure injury, when he's in, he's going.
Yeah.
Right? Anthony Davis has another layer to where he does also disappear in games.
Sure.
Yeah. Have a really good half. He did in the first game that they played, the Lakers did.
Yeah.
Where was AD in the second half? And then in this game, I mean, he was around the whole time, but you know, he has spurts, and I don't know if that's due to injury. I mean, it's gotten to the point now where every time he fell on that ref yesterday.
Yeah.
That was a ridiculous collision. I was like, one of these guys is not getting up.
Right. I don't know who, but that's exactly what I thought.
Something is not going to be okay. Yeah. And luckily, both were fine. Yeah. But it's just even the way he moves. At this point, you're just thinking, man. And I think that's a good piece of this, too. Because even if he doesn't get injured because of his history, however old he is, in your mind, especially being a bigger guy as well, he's got to be at least 34 mileage-wise, right? Even though he doesn't have – it's not mileage in the sense that he's been playing a lot. Right. It's mileage in the sense of
– His wear and tear.
I've seen some things, right? I have seen some things. But I did get to see my first beam.
Yeah. How'd she look? I think we've all established that the beam is –
Okay.
Is a she.
Okay.
I believe.
It's like a car. You call your car.
It's the exact same thing.
I think it can be whatever you want. If it's a she to you.
Absolutely.
Then
absolutely.
That's what it is. Absolutely. I haven't decided yet. Okay. I was very.
That's wonderful.
I'm very overwhelmed. Yeah.
You're just starting your beam journey. Yeah, you got to find the identity.
And shout out to Chris Watkins, just a great co-host. I had to ask. I said, hey, man. I gotta be that guy. Can you take a picture of me with the beam? And he did it. He gave me different angles as well. Yeah.
I didn't get on a knee, but I didn't really have to do all that.
We'll run it back. Yeah. We'll run it back. Yeah. So
trying to get you looking like you're 7 foot tall.
I would love that. So shout out to Chris Watkins for being a good.
I was trying to make Al look like a vert.
Yeah, exactly. You got it.
Not a zaunt.
You know, not that I am a proud zaunt, but sometimes you know if I can look like it, I'm going to take that all day. But like you said, AD with 27 points and De'Aaron Fox. So we did not expect to have an update this quickly.
No.
And I'm glad that we did because it was a good update, right? If it lingered, it probably wouldn't have been so good. But we cannot say enough about De'Aaron Fox. 37 points, 8 assists, 4 rebounds. Not even the bold prediction when we discussed how far could the Kings go. Mm-hmm. It is all based on a lot of things, but it starts with the straw that stirs a drink in De'Aaron Fox. And he is off on a heater. He just makes things look easy. And a lot of words. There's a whole list of overused sports words like narrative and ceiling, right? And I would say shifty is like a tier 2 version of that word. But De'Aaron Fox is shifty, man.
Yeah.
Because it's the stop and go. It's the mid-range. The threes, we got to keep track of that three-point percentage.
Yep.
Started out cold.
He was 44%.
Right. And really, it would be better the 1-for-7 night.
Yes.
Has kind of messed it up. But ever since then, he's been on a bit of a heater, and you love to see it. I mean, De'Aaron Fox, man, he's doing some things right now, and hopefully he doesn't miss too much time.
No, exactly. You know, the hope is that he doesn't miss too much time. We kind of tried to break it down earlier on the crosstalk, but it seems like, you know, if we had to guess, and this is just nothing more than a complete guess, but maybe next Friday he can come back, so he hopefully doesn't miss too many games, but the Kings definitely need his scoring, especially on a night like last night. It becomes incredibly apparent just how valuable it is to have De'Aaron on their team. He's kind of the great separator. He's their superstar. It looks like, he kind of might have taken a leap that we're already starting to see here with these back-to-back 37 and then 39 on Friday as well. It looks like he's just elevated his game to another shift mode, to another just like it feels like he can get to whatever spots he wants to. He can realistically, he's just faster than everybody else on the floor. And you mentioned the start-stop thing. To me, that's kind of the biggest evolution in his game right now is weaponizing his speed, going 80%, but having the other guys think he's going 100 and then shifting that gear up to that 100%.
Yeah.
Guys just can't stick with him. And just what he's been able to do, you mentioned the 8 assists yesterday as well. He's not just scoring for himself. He's creating shots for others. And a big part of it is last night for more than what it's been the 2 games before, other guys were hitting shots. You mentioned Kevin Herter hitting some threes. What's his name? Keegan Murray knocked down a couple threes as well. And I think that's a huge part of the team looking better as well, is these guys actually made their shots yesterday where they kind of didn't against Golden State on Friday.
No. And as much as we liked what you see the line for what De'Aaron Fox did against the Kings Warriors, and you say, oh, wow, he was right there toe-to-toe with Steph, and that was great. And then you look down, and you see 27 shot attempts.
Yeah.
27 shot attempts. Testy. That is not what you really want to see.
For sure.
Maybe it's cool. It was very cool
great
to watch.
To see, yeah.
But you start looking, and again, yeah. you got the L, and mm-hmm. he almost willed the team back, but you right. don't want to see him taking that many shots.
Yeah.
And
Friday was too much. I think it was too much. We were sitting next to Whitey that game as well, mm-hmm. and we were all kind of talking together as that game was unfolding in the fourth quarter. And like you said, I mean, it was amazing to watch De'Aaron almost pretty much single-handedly yeah. bring his team back into that game. But at the same time, we also kind of saw him shoot them out of the game at the same time.
Right.
Took some just errant shots. And I wonder if, you know, we were all kind of wondering, like, is this just him at this exact moment in time, not necessarily making some grand statement, but does he just not trust his teammates in this moment in time right now?
Right.
I mean, again, Kevin Huerter was struggling before last night. Keegan Murray hasn't looked exactly as deadly as what we would hope so far from the perimeter. A lot of in and outs. And you know, HB after that first game has been, you know, back to HB of old, pretty quiet, you know, still contributing here and there, but yeah. never, you know, taking 15 shots in a game. So, you know, it's did De'Aaron not trust his guys in that moment in time? I wonder. I would have loved to hear that film session in for Mike Brown, and just to know how they felt about it, because clearly, again, they're not in that game without De'Aaron Fox. But there's also, I really think that there's a world where the Kings possibly could have won that game on Friday if De'Aaron spread the ball out just a little bit more. But, it's tough to try and knock him when, again, he's the only reason they're in that
right.
game.
That was before
place.
Kevin Huerter kind of got back on,
exactly.
on the good side of things. Harrison Barnes actually asked Coach Brown this question in the post-game presser, because Harrison Barnes had 5 field goal attempts.
Right. After scoring 30.
Attempts.
Yes.
So
and he was 4 of 5.
And
as
was
well, like
five.
He was making his shots.
Right.
It wasn't like he was 1 of 5 and he was like, I just don't have it tonight. Like, he was
right.
hitting shots.
So when I asked Coach that, he said it was more about the ball movement and the spacing. He said it wasn't necessarily about, we don't believe in, hey, just take the ball. Which is funny he said that, because we don't believe in just taking the ball and being quote unquote more aggressive. The game comes to you, but we all help each other by not holding on to the ball too long. So based on that answer, it was one of those things where he probably didn't want De'Aaron to do that.
Right.
But they were so far gone, if he's going to put on a masterclass and pull
22
this off.
22 points in the fourth.
And like, he almost did.
Yeah.
Not how we're going to live with it, but in that situation, you got Steph on the
exactly.
other side.
Yeah.
I think he just figures, we can't live like that
right.
always, but there are going to be games where you just see if your star can get it done.
Yeah, exactly. And that's a great way of putting it, because you can almost view it as like a test almost, where mm-hmm. it's like, hey, like we the Warriors were kind of handing it to the Kings at that
right.
point. Let's see. I mean, De'Aaron wins Clutch Player of the Year last year, has tons of fourth quarter heroics. Can he do it? Can he, like you said, superstars sometimes on given nights. I mean, we kind of saw it in Game 7 with the Warriors. Sometimes you just win because you have a superstar on your team that night, whether it be Steph Curry dropping 50 or maybe De'Aaron Fox scoring 25 mm-hmm. in the fourth quarter or whatever. Sometimes you do have to kind of say, this is my Hail Mary. This is the last card I got. And
yeah.
if it doesn't work, we were probably going to lose anyway.
Right, right. And again, not how you want to live every single
right.
day, but there are going to be some games that they win like that.
Yeah.
And we're going to be talking about De'Aaron Fox and how he willed that team to victory. We were talking about it already on Friday. But unfortunately, they weren't able to get it done.
Right.
But they moved on. You clean the slate.
Yeah.
And you get the win against the Lakers. All right, got to get to a
thing.
Break. When we get back, a funny story with Coach and Keegan Murray that we'll talk about. And we've gone too long. We got to talk about our guy, Malik Monk, because he is really doing some things. All right, all that and more when we get back. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Live and local.
This is Sacktown Sports.
We are back. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. 11 a.m., Emil Fragoso, our 49ers insider, will be on the horn to talk Brock Purdy, Steve Wilks, and all things 49ers. And like I said, 12:45, beaming or dreaming. Get your calls ready, beaming or dreaming. We have someone on the text line, Styles, go back to the Bay. You're not a sack dude.
Oof.
It's funny because that text is from a 510. So I don't think either of us are sack people. I was gonna say, I don't think either of us are sack people, but thank you for listening as well. I'm just saying, I don't know. I'm pretty sure that's 916, correct?
Yeah, you're definitely right.
Thank you for listening. All right.
Appreciate it.
I saw that one. I said, I can't. I got it. I had that one in the chamber.
Bring him up. Bring him up.
I had that one. I had it ready. All right. So we've been talking Kings. and what they did against the Warriors and what they did against the Lakers as well. And, being able to get – and obviously Mike Brown was with the Warriors as an assistant, and he's been around the block for a long time.
Yeah.
Another overused term. Player's coach.
Yes.
I don't know what a player's coach is. In my opinion, when I look at Kyle Shanahan, doesn't really seem like a player's coach to me. Mm-hmm. But is a player's coach just a good coach?
Yeah.
It gets used so much.
My interpretation of player's coach is like somebody who is like not necessarily about the X's and O's and is more about like getting the team camaraderie.
Like Tomlin.
Together. Yes, like Tomlin. Okay. Unfortunately, like my mind as a Kings fan goes to like Luke Walton. Like it's not really.
Really?
And it's not always a positive to be a player's coach. That's the thing. I mean, that's why it's like I wouldn't necessarily say it's just being a good coach, because to me, a player's coach is somebody who you're more concerned about making sure the locker room is happy than making sure that the X's and O's are as tight as possible, if that makes sense. Like, banking on talent winning out than the fact that, you know, you have the best schemes.
Right. Well, it gets confusing because...
It's like Steve Kerr. You could argue Steve Kerr is a player's
coach. Because it gets confusing, going back to Kyle Shanahan, a player's coach doesn't... Because people will say, no, they play their tails off for Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah, for sure.
But does that make him a player's coach?
No.
I don't think so.
No, I wouldn't say so. I would say, like, he's a player's coach in the sense of he definitely sets up his players to be athletes. Like, you know, with the amount of, you know, yards after catch and the amount of fun that he allows in his play calls. Like, you know, the amount of motion and, you know, the Niners definitely run a pretty modernized offense. It's not, you know, hey, we're going to take five steps back, we're going to run play out, you know, like they're very modern in the way they run things. And I would say that lends itself to be more player friendly because players like having fun. They don't like to play the Bill Belichick hard nosed style of football all the time. So that's the only way I would call Shanahan a player's coach, because definitely it doesn't, at least from what we see from the outside looking in, it doesn't seem like he's really a, hey, Brock, what'd you do on Friday? How's the family?
Like Mike McDaniel.
Exactly.
You know, he's someone who he just feels like a quote unquote player's coach. And maybe it's an age thing too. Kind of come off like that.
No, Pete Carroll.
Pete Carroll
likes to stay young,
slinging
the
football around. So I guess there's that. But I say all that to say that in my mind, when I think player's coach at this point, it's got to be Mike Brown. And he's talking with guys. Yeah. I mean, last season when he's running the sprints up and down and just screaming and everything he does to me, that's a player's coach. And the relationship that you have, it's almost similar to when it comes to parenting. And there's always been this long conversation of, should your parents be your friends? And it really just depends on who you talk to, right? Should your coach be your friend, or should they just be your coach?
Yeah.
And as with most things in life, it should be a little bit of both. I think it should be even. You should feel comfortable enough to tell your parents certain things as if they were a friend, but still have that respect and understand that, I'm not your buddy. Right. You know what I mean? Because my dad, you know, hey, I'm not your pal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But we can have a conversation. Same thing with my mom
as
well.
That's a great way of putting it.
And I think Mike Brown is right there. So we have this story where Brandon Nunez asked the question, another one of our guys, Sacktown Sports, who does a lot of great work for the Kings. And he asked the question because a couple times subs were coming in and then got turned away based on the next play that happened. So we have sound from Coach Brown because this happened with Keegan Murray.
Yep.
And Keegan decided, I'm going to take care of this and stay on the court.
I only remember one, and it was Keegan. He was wide open, and he had a smaller guy closing out on him, and he traveled. And he's got to shoot the ball. He's one of the best shooters I've been around, and he didn't shoot it. And I told him the only reason he'll probably come out of games this year when he's not supposed to get some rest if he doesn't shoot the freaking ball. And he was great because the next opportunity he got, he shot it. I think he turned to me and said, looked at me and said, F you. Which I loved. It's great. So he can shoot. He better freaking shoot the ball or else he's coming out the game. If he feels like he's open, I'm going to ride with him.
I'm a ride with him.
I love that. And by the way, for those who didn't see, Mike Brown was furious at Keegan. Like, he was, like, chewing him out. Like, he would, like, he was really, really upset at Keegan, running all the way down the floor, chased him down, was telling him, you could tell, he was like, if you don't shoot the ball, he had Sasha, like, at the scorer's table ready to take him out. And I just love that Keegan also, I mean, that's showing the development of Keegan as well, where he's getting more comfortable and like Keegan, getting told F you from Keegan Murray like, you need to wear that as a badge of honor. It's like, I earned that.
Yes,
that's
definitely
incredible.
And you know, I think that's the good thing about this depth. And we're going to get into it a little bit more later in the show, the depth that the Kings have, because Vezenkov thinking, oh, you want me to shoot?
I'm ready.
I wake up ready to shoot. Yeah. So I think Keegan knowing that, the whole team knowing that, it's just iron sharpens iron all day long, and that's going to continue to help this team get better and learn, okay, Keegan, you are in here to do a couple different things, and you got some big rebounds along with Herter as well, but you're here to shoot the rock.
Right?
You are, it's kind of, and we'll talk, maybe we'll get into the World Series a little bit later. Great series going on there, by the way, but having a green light.
Right?
Back in the day, your boy had a green light. You know, I had one back in the day. Yeah. And Keegan shoot, not in basketball, in stealing bases. Yeah. Keegan, when it comes to shooting the basketball, has a green light.
Absolutely.
And they're probably, I mean, that's not really Sabonis' bag. His green light is just, hey, if you want to initiate your offense, go ahead and do that. You got probably three guys with green lights, and that's Fox, Sabonis, and now Keegan Murray. Yeah. So it's not even just a green light. It's somebody behind you honking, saying, the light is green, go. And that's
I will.
And
I'll drive around you. If you're not going to go, I'll drive around you.
And it's Vezenkov just in the driver's seat, just like, hey, if you don't want to shoot,
sorry,
I'll get in there and shoot. So I thought that was hilarious.
I think that's like the perfect clip to play, because that, especially for what we were talking about, like Mike Brown being the ultimate player's coach, because that's like the full encapsulation of it all. It's Mike Brown, again, having the parent side of it, if you will, where he's not afraid to yell at Keegan Murray, shoot the ball, and like berate him, shoot the ball.
Yeah.
Keegan's not afraid to open up the dialogue back and say what he feels, what we heard what Keegan said. And then also for Mike Brown to internalize that and understand, I mean, of course, it helps that it's from Keegan. You're not going to take that super seriously. You know, good on Mike Brown for not sticking to his guns and saying, no, like, I need to prove this point. I'm going to take Keegan out. He's got the wherewithal to say, you know, like, no, he went down the floor the very next time. He took the three. He made it. He learned the lesson. Let me not pull him. And he sits Sasha back down, and I think that's, again, just a really good example of how Mike Brown has a great pulse, finger on the pulse of what this team needs. He really understands what buttons to push and when to push them. And I think he's just, it's just a perfect marriage. Like, I think where this team is at right now in their development, with where Mike Brown is as a coach, he's talked about, you know, through his experiences in Cleveland and then in San Antonio even before that, and then what he learned in Golden State, he's kind of finishing his puzzle as a coach as well.
Yeah.
And it's just, both situations are just coming together at a perfect time. And it really feels like there could not be a better coach for this team than Mike Brown right now.
Get into a break. When we get back, a little bit of Malik Monk talk and what he has been able to do, and a little bit of Niners as well. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports.
Check us out on YouTube.
Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
We are back. Sacktown Sports, Styles and Watkins, taking up to 2 p.m. Third official show. Show counter at number three, talking all things Kings. Going to take a little Kings break as we get ready for Emil Fragoso, our 49ers insider, at 11. And go a little bit of Niners here.
Even
though the vibes are a little bit different with the Niners.
Yeah.
Let's just be honest right now.
Niners are, you know, they're in a rough patch right now.
It was all good just a week ago. Actually, three weeks ago.
Yeah, at this point. It's kind of crazy, man. Three straight losses for this team.
Did not have this on the bingo card. I mean, there were people talking about, could the Niners go undefeated?
Yeah.
And I was one of those people. And now I look ridiculous.
Yeah.
Have we been hoodwinked?
Yeah. Led astray.
Led astray. Bamboozled.
I'm going to say no still. Yeah. I still feel like what we saw in the first 5 weeks, I'm not ready to throw it out yet. Now, if the Niners can't get healthy completely, that's a different story because I think that's been a big factor in them not looking like themselves these last couple weeks. Mm-hmm. Of course, that's a part of football, and that's something that every team is dealing with, and it's not unique to the Niners, so it's not really a valid excuse. But I think that this team still, when they're on their day, when they're having their day, I think that they're still up there with one of the best teams in football. And I know it hasn't looked like that the last 3 weeks. It's been really, really shaky. But we were talking before the show. To me, this is the middle of the season. Like, this is almost the time when every team picks up losses. I mean, we're seeing the Chiefs struggle. We're seeing the Eagles are even struggling. Mm-hmm. They've been struggling all year, really, but have just gotten the results. It's really not I'm not going to make much of this stretch. Of course, it's you know, I was looking at this Niners schedule at the beginning of the year saying, this schedule is really tough, especially this exact portion right here where, you know, like they were playing the Cowboys, and then we saw how good the Browns are, and the Vikings are no slouches, and the Bengals, obviously, we saw how talented they are. They come off the bye. They've got Jacksonville, and then they've got the Seattle Eagles-Seattle sandwich still. It's a tough schedule, and the fact that the Niners are, you know, finding some injuries right now, and they're playing arguably the toughest part of their schedule, it's a valid reason for why they're losing. Now, watching the games, there's obviously, you know, the Brock Purdy story of just what's going on with him, and there's reasons why they're losing these games as they're happening, but I'm not willing to change my opinion that this 49ers team is still capable of winning a Super Bowl.
Yeah, and the good thing is, there really isn't any team that's just been better than the Niners all season long.
Absolutely.
They've all kind of
everybody's
scuffled
some
a bit.
Somewhere.
Yeah, so this is just the Niners are just a part of that.
Yep.
I think the only difference is at one point we thought the Niners were above
that. Yes, I think that's a great point.
And they're just not.
Yep.
They're just not. And they lose to the Bengals to Joe Burrow, 31 to Joey Ice.
In front of Joe Montana, too.
In front of Joe Montana.
Takes Joe Cool.
31-17. And, you know, the Bengals, they do this every season it feels like they do this, where they just
sleepwalk for a month and a half.
Yeah. And then decide, hey, all right, we'll start trying now. Joe had the calf injury.
Right.
He definitely looks healthy. He ran as well.
I don't know if you heard, because they said it 100 times on the broadcast, but Joe Burrow wasn't under center the entire year. And then this week, all of a sudden, like, I think they said he had 2 snaps this entire season under center.
Wow.
And it seemed like 80% of his snaps yesterday were coming under center. So he's clearly on the other side of that calf injury.
Yes.
I don't know if it's completely healed, but clearly it's not hampering him as much as it was the first month and a half of the season.
No, and 11 o'clock, like we said, a meal for go. So 11:15, we're doing blame pie for the Niners. So be sure to call in, text in, and give us your thoughts on all of that. Yeah, man. I mean, look, you look at defensively and Steve Wilkes, there's, should he be up in the booth? Should he be down there with his team? And you have, you know, you have the actual team, Fred Warner, saying, look, man, the coaches aren't tackling.
That's what I'm saying.
Right?
Yeah,
the coaches are not tackling. I know Brandon Ayuk had a drop, from Brock Purdy as well. So players got to make plays. Again, throw that in the list of overused terms.
Yes,
but it's true.
That's a one
seed. Players got to make plays. And you get on social media, and it's people that and look, I know nowadays a lot of people do break down film and all this stuff, but I do think it's just a bit of a cop-out to just say, it's the coach. It's the coach, right? I mean, schemes are one thing, but you either get beat or you don't. So, again, we got Blame Pie coming up at, 11:15. So that'll be a good one. Yeah, man, I mean, it just is a confusing situation with the Niners, right?
Sure.
I look at the Niners and those weapons, and that defense, or what that defense was supposed to be, and they're almost just getting paper cut to death these days. It's just small, short pass. You got Jamar Chase, and you had opportunities. I mean, the defense had some takeaways. They got at least two fumbles. I know that.
Yeah.
So they had
almost an interception.
Interception. So they had opportunities to do some things. They're just the machine just needs a little bit of WD-40.
Yeah.
Right? That's it was just rolling like. Along. It's just getting
grease
a little
the wheels a little bit.
Yeah, it's just Tin Man right from The Wiz, right? Put a little oil on me. That's what the Niners need, because right now, man, they just look, it's almost uninspiring.
Yeah, I mean, maybe the first 5 weeks were too easy for them. Maybe, you know, they were putting up points too easy, and now they just have struggled to kind of get that extra effort in. I definitely don't think that's what it is, but that kind of feels like a narrative thing that you can throw on top of it. I don't know what, because I think, you know, we're going to talk about him a lot later, but there is, you know, in this blame pie, there is Brock Purdy as well. Like, his play has definitely contributed to how shaky it's looked. Like, Brock was immaculate the first five weeks of the season. Like, he wasn't turning the ball over. And to me, if you're just going to look at the biggest difference from the Niners winning games to them now losing games, it's pretty clear and obvious that it's the fact that not just Brock, because Brock has definitely had his fair share, but let's not forget, like, Christian McCaffrey fumbled in the Vikings game as well. Right. Just in general, the Niners have been losing that turnover battle, and they had been absolutely dominating it in the weeks previous. So they just got to clean it up. They're not playing crisp, and maybe it's for some reason the fact that Debo and Trent Williams aren't playing is really affecting just the flow of the offense. But it just hasn't looked – they haven't looked the same exact team as they were in the first 5 weeks, not just in terms of the results not going their way, but just how they've been going about the games just hasn't seemed nearly as effortless as it felt the first 5 weeks.
No, and look, you're talking about two all-pros here with Debo and Trent Williams being out. So maybe it's just that simple, but I do believe, based on what we saw initially, and I've talked about how Niner fans were ready to ship out Debo because you got Christian McCaffrey and you like Brandon Ayuk, I get all that. But I think what we're realizing now is, based on the first 5 weeks, it seemed like the Niners had a huge margin of error, right? You could be missing a couple guys and they should still be able to get it done. Well, they must just be missing the two guys that does not allow them to get it done, because that doesn't seem to be the case. I think we all would have thought, you still got George Kittle, right? You still got Ayuk. You got some younger receivers as well. You got Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah.
So I think that we believe that then defensively you got your guys. I think that, at least myself, I thought they could miss a couple guys and still hang around. And again, is this so much about the Bengals or it's about the Niners? Because these are two teams, and we'll get to your guy, Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
Hey, me and Kirk Cousins, add him to the list.
One and the same, man.
You know, it's just, you know, man, a lot of us elite athletes, what happens is our bodies are, you know, too explosive for their own good.
Mm-hmm.
So guys like...
You just fire off
so
that
guys
foot
like, just... you know, it's just me, Kevin Durant...
Yep.
Clay, Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, that's crazy.
You know, and now Kirk Cousins, all of us just kind of, you know, we're just way too athletic.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
That's what I was going to say.
And when you're performing at a high level,
as you guys all do,
the same type
equally,
of level,
that's
what happens.
It's tough. I mean, it wasn't great to see. It really, I mean, the Kirk Cousins stuff is tough, and I actually just got an update that it is official that MRI confirms Kirk Cousins tore his Achilles.
Did you watch the video?
Yes, I saw it live. Oh, I very much saw it live.
Man.
It was really tough to watch.
Yeah,
of course, there's Niners ties into that as well.
Yep.
Kirk is going to be a free agent, and it's going to be interesting to see kind of what this does for his free agency.
Yeah, that's
and,
too bad.
With all the Niners quarterback stuff going on, who knows if Kirk enters the chat in some weird way.
Right.
Maybe he can be a backup in San Francisco, or maybe, you know, maybe not. Who knows how his recovery is going to go. So that's definitely going to be interesting thing to follow. But for the Niners as well, the defense for me, and again, we'll talk about this more when we talk about the blame pie, but I feel like the thing that made this game different than maybe in previous years also is the fact that the Bengals were able to put up 31. I feel like in the past, that Niners defense, like, we talk a lot about the Niners offense being elite. That defense has always been top five in the NFL, and part of that is the fact that they don't allow teams to put up 30 balls like that. I mean, a lot of the times it is, you know, in the 20s, if the Niners can score 20 points, they're going to be able to at least be in most games. And the fact that, yeah, I mean, the Bengals were able to pretty much just carve the defense up and put up 31 points, that's not something that the Niners are really used to. A lot of the times that defense is going to shut down even the most elite of offenses. So maybe that defense has kind of taken a little bit too much of a slide for the team as a unit to kind of be able to sacrifice or to survive that.
Right. And all in all, when it comes to Brock, the whole conversation was, okay, Brock is, besides the whole real deal stuff, he was closer to being ready. And I had a lot of conversations about this because there was so much comparison between Brock and Trey Lance.
Right.
Okay, and my question is that it depends on who you ask, is Brock ready or is he just more ready than Trey Lance?
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like the answer is he's just more ready than Trey Lance. So with that being said, when you look at the issues that have come up with Brock, that's okay.
Yeah.
That's actually okay. You expect that,
he's still
right?
A young quarterback.
He's a young quarterback. Okay. The reason you're not paying him yet, or the reason you decided to go with him, is so you can pay your elite guys, your veterans,
right,
to make up for when Brock has those issues.
Exactly.
And that's what's not happening.
Great point. Right.
That's what's you're expected now. You can't do three turnovers, right, in the course of what, four,
yes,
drives or, yeah, something like that, Brock. You can't
exactly
do that.
What it was, yeah.
But at the same time, you can't put as much on Brock in terms of, hey, well, he's supposed to be a finished product. And I think so much of that conversation got a little bit misconstrued with Trey. And I don't think the Niners did a very good job. I think they were riding high. I think they had a little bit too much dip on their chip when it comes to Brock because he had played so well. And it turned into Brock being ready when really he was just more ready,
yeah,
and cheaper. And we just believe that he's just better than Sam Darnold.
Right.
So that's what something that I don't think got communicated very well, because he was playing so well that nobody ever came out and really said, hey, he's playing really well for where he is, but he's not a finished product. We're going to go through,
right,
growing pains with him. I think it was so much of he's get Trey out of here. He's a real deal. He's good to go. And
yeah,
Brock Purdy,
when he's a top 10 quarterback, right?
Yes.
Now. Not just like he, like you said, like not just he's the most ready guy on the team. That, mm-hmm, wasn't the conversation. It was, no, this guy, not only is he the best guy on the team, he's one of the best in the NFL.
Yeah, or he can get there,
right,
this year. So we'll see what happens, man. Got to get to a break. When we get back, Emil Fragoso, 49ers Insider, will help us break down what is wrong in Santa Clara or San Francisco. You know, people get mad when
they
you say
really
that.
Upset.
They get mad.
They
but
finally,
I mean,
showed not San Francisco this game,
right,
as well when they did the cutaways.
You know
it
what
great.
It reminds me of? And I'm going to go there, Simone. I see you behind the glass. It reminds me of the audiobook conversation.
Oh, gosh.
People get mad. People get mad when you say the Santa Clara 49ers. Hey, that's disrespectful. But where do they play?
In Santa Clara.
Yeah.
It's not, I mean, I'm just messing around, but people get really upset about that. Well,
yeah.
I didn't tell them to build it in Santa Clara. That's where it is.
Yeah.
That's where it is. All right.
Semantic.
Get into a break. When we get back, like we said, Emil Fragoso and much more Kings talk when we get to the top of the hour, 12 o'clock. So you don't want to miss that as well. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.